Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
There are some pretty lawless parts of the US, but one small sliver of land is literally that. In a place nicknamed the Zone of Death, you can legally get away with anything. Brian Colt is a law professor at Michigan State University, and he joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon.
Now, this is, tell us about Mike Bulderain and what was it he was doing in 2005?
Well, he was near Yellowstone National Park, and he poached an elk. And he was caught and prosecuted for that, but this ran afoul of the little loophole that I discovered.
Right. And now, I mean, did he know at the time he kind of followed this elk into Yellowstone National Park?
I think he was standing outside of the park and he saw the elk inside the park, or he might have been inside, but whatever it was, he had no idea about the loophole when he did it. He just wanted to poach an elk.
Right. Okay. So he's arrested for poaching. And then what was the loophole? What was the problem?
Well, in the U.S., the trial courts are assigned to districts, and most districts are a state. So like the state of South Carolina has the District of South Carolina. And the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution says that when there's a federal crime, the jury has to be from the state and district where the crime was committed. Now, some states have more than one district, so then that just means you have to make sure you're in the right district. But it's never an issue that you're in the right state, except right there. The District of Wyoming includes all of Yellowstone Park, including the parts of the park that are in Idaho and Montana. Mm-hmm. So he was in the Montana portion of the park. And so under the Sixth Amendment, the jury needed to be from the District of Wyoming, but the state of Montana. In other words, they had to be from the Montana portion of the park. And very few people live there. In the Idaho portion, that's where the Zone of Death is, no one lives there. So that's the issue. And the other problem is that in Yellowstone, there's no state jurisdiction. It's one of the federal areas where the federal government is the only authority that can prosecute. So they couldn't just try him in state court.
Right. Okay. It's a federal crime or alleged federal crime, where would they usually be tried?
So normally, if you're in the District of Wyoming and you're in the state of Wyoming, they would just try you in Wyoming, in Cheyenne, which is a few hundred miles away. It's a big state. And then if you're in Montana, they would try you in Montana. But that part that's in the park, that's where it gets tricky. The trial has to be or supposed to be in the state where the crime was committed. And the jury is supposed to be from the state and district. And everywhere else, that's not an issue. Everywhere else, the district lines don't cross state lines. So you just make sure you're in the right district and you're fine.
Mm. So how big is this piece of land?
The Idaho portion is about 50 square miles, and it's cut off from the rest of the park. It's not visited very much, and so the risk there is lower. But the Montana portion is a couple of hundred square miles, and it is connected with the rest of the park. Plenty of people go through there, so it should. They could have tried to pull a jury together, but that's not what happened in Bulderain's case.
Right. And actually, before we get finally what happened to him, have any other offenses or crimes been committed there and run into similar problems?
I'm not aware of any in the Idaho portion. Again, it's a remote area. It's sort of cut off from the rest. There have been some in TV shows and novels where they've used this idea. But in the Montana portion, we know of Bulderain's case, and I'm guessing that there were some others too, but no major crimes.
Yeah.
Certainly since I pointed out the loophole.
And what happened to Bulderain then?
So, when I published my theory, the legal argument I thought was airtight. But there was a practical argument. People kept coming back and saying, well, yeah, but they wouldn't just let him go. And I said, okay, but that's not a legal argument, right? You have to go into court and say why. And I was trying to get them to fix this, to just redraw the district line so this wouldn't even be an issue. That's my goal. I don't want anyone walking free for a crime. Well, neither did the prosecutors. So they argued to the judge that if they just let him go, that would be bad. And the judge said, in essence, well, yes, that is what the Constitution says, but I can't just let him go. Now, that's something that trial courts do all the time. They're not going to go out on a limb on something controversial like that. Normally, you would expect that to go to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals would be the one to stick their necks out and say, yeah, this really needs to be fixed, and in the meantime, this person will go free. The prosecutor made a plea agreement, and they said, we will let you plead guilty. We will reduce the sentence that you get if you agree not to appeal this particular issue to the Court of Appeals. You can appeal any other issue in the case, and he did, but not this issue. And if you want to appeal this issue, if you want to try and go free because of this, then if you lose, you'll be going to prison for a lot longer. And so he took the deal, and it never got appealed to the Court of Appeals. And so the loophole still lingers.
Right. What kind of a sentence did he receive?
He got 4 years.
And did he serve the 4 years?
Yes.
Wow. How much might he have got? This is just for killing an elk, for poaching.
Well, they throw all the charges they can. There was illegal possession, illegal transportation, a weapons charge, and all that. So he could have been looking at a few more years on top of that.
Right, my word. Since then, have any attempts been made to fix this loophole?
No. Congress has shown no interest in it. They see it as a hypothetical thing. So there's not a crime wave going on, and they have bigger problems that are actually happening right now to worry about. Not that they're doing anything about those either, but they have consistently shown zero interest in fixing this. The Department of Justice opposed changing this, and that's the main reason why. I think they would have fixed it if the Department of Justice had been on board, but they didn't want to change the district lines because they were worried about environmentalists challenging park management decisions in a more liberal Court of Appeals, which is what would happen if you redrew the district lines. So for reasons entirely unrelated to the potential crime and the potential person going free, the government just didn't want to fix it.
Right. Okay. That's extraordinary. So it's there as a loophole until such time as perhaps somebody deliberately tries to take advantage of that and commits a more serious crime.
Yeah, that was my concern, that someone willing to go to the mat, not take the plea deal, would be someone who committed a more serious crime, maybe murder, with nothing to lose. There are a lot of limits, though. They could prosecute you for committing some part of some crime elsewhere, like conspiring beforehand. There's civil liability. Your victim could sue you. And then there's also the fact that the court might not agree with me. So it's not a sure thing. And I think there's a reason why we haven't seen a crime wave there for that.
Yes.
For that reason.
It's fascinating nonetheless. Brian, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That's Brian Colt there. He's a law professor at Michigan State University.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.